Well, good morning to you and welcome back to the God School. So it's been a couple of weeks since we have done a message. Unfortunately, or fortunately, I've suffered again from that Chinese virus called COVID. It tried to do a real job on me, but thank God, he heals. And I'm back again, getting stronger. And I want to talk today about basic Christianity. God has called us to eternal life and it does not necessarily appear in this life that, or the evidence of this life, that eternal life is our end. For Paul says in his second letter to Timothy, he said, yea, and all that will live godly, that is, live with an awareness of God in Christ Jesus, shall suffer persecution. He says in the 11th verse of that third chapter, speaking of his experiences, he says, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Now, this letter, or epistle called 2 Timothy, is Paul's final writings. He's writing this from the Mamertine prison, 19 feet underground in Rome, telling us that his ministry, that all Asia has forsaken him, telling us that only Luke is with him, telling us that the time of his departure, and the word is a wonderful word, it's a naval term, it has to do with a ship about to, fully laden, about to leave the harbor to its new destination. And he says that he says, for I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He says, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. You know, that's not the Catholic faith, the Baptist faith. It's not the Holiness Church's faith. It is speaking of the promises of God, wherein God promises that he shall deliver us. Deliver us from what? I don't think it's out of context, but I want to go to a verse In the first chapter of 2 Corinthians, another letter from Paul, he says, in the 8th verse, he said, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength. We thought it was all over, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had this sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death." What's the greatest death? The eternal death. Who has delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver, in whom we, King James says, trust, no, in whom we hope, that he will yet deliver us. This Christian walk comes down to time versus eternity. Paul, writing this letter to the young preacher Timothy, is telling his experiences of his ministry when it sure doesn't look like it is blessed in this world, for he's 19 feet underground. The streets of Rome are filled with pleasure and all the pursuits of the flesh fulfilled. And Paul's sitting there in a dungeon. And what is he, how does he open it up? He says, "Paul, an apostle, one sent of God." He's not despairing at all of the ministry to which he was called. He says, "I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me." Not that I earned it. The Lord shall give me a crown of righteousness at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them who love his appearing, who believe that what he said is true. "I will come again and take you home with me." Who has delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver, in whom we hope, and hope that is seen is not hope. For if you see that which you hope for, it's not hope. I want to go to another of God's men, King David. Another of God's choice. Paul says he was an apostle by the will of God. We have the experience with David that he was chosen of God. He was God's choice. But we find him in the 34th Psalm fleeing from King Saul. We find him hiding in the cave of Adullam. He's got 400 men who are with him. And David writes this psalm. And he says, now he's in a circumstance which surely without faith, he could start questioning God, saying, you know, hey, God, didn't you, through Samuel, express your choice of me as king? And here I am being sought by the one whom I'm supposed to replace. He's trying to kill me. And I'm with all these who are in distress and discomfort. Here I am, and David writes this psalm. And he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Now, I'm not going to read the whole psalm today, but I would recommend that after hearing this message, that you would go and spend some time in this Psalm 34. It says, they looked unto him, that is the Lord, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, that is, have reverence. This, I hate this translation by the King James people. I wish they would have put the emphasis in the right place. It's not those going around trembling before God, although there is that certain awareness of his power. But the one who fears, that is, who has reverence, who has respect, who desires to please God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. It's, David says, oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, those who are called by God, for there is no want to them that fear him, that respect him, that reverence him. He says, come ye children. Oh, excuse me, let's stay with the 10th verse. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good. That is, those who inquire of the Lord. Oftentimes, in David's experience, we find him seeking God's counsel. And in his goodness, and in his relationship with his chosen, David gets direction from the Lord. Now, we have this whole Bible giving us God's direction and his promises. We have his word, of which Jesus said, his word is truth, his word is reality. It's what is eternal and to eternal life we are called by his grace, by his unmerited favor, and are given the gift of faith, of which God says, that's not of yourselves, lest we should boast. It's a gift of God. And I, David says, will teach you to fear, to reverence the Lord. In verse 17, it says, King James, the righteous cry, if you have a King James Bible, you see that the words the righteous is in italics. It's not there in the original. Cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. This word cry implies cry for help. Jesus Christ, Jehovah, our helper. And delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as of a contrite spirit, or contrite in spirit, looking to God for deliverance, not with any confidence of the flesh. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. What does Paul say? Yea, and all that will live godly, that is, in awareness of God, of the presence of God in Christ Jesus, shall suffer persecution. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. The only real righteous one, the 20th verse speaks of, he keepeth all the bones, not one of them is broken. That's speaking of Jesus. I'll repeat, cry for help. The Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth. The word here, the picture is like, just snatch away. Delivereth him out of them all. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servant, and none of them that trust, that this word is hasa, that flee for refuge in him, shall be desolate. Let's look at that word that's found in both the 21st and 22nd verses. Being translated desolate, the word is asham, and it means wicked, it means guilty, it means liable to punishment, it means judged as guilty. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be wicked, shall be guilty, shall be liable to punishment, judged as guilty. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servant, and none of them that trust in him shall be wicked, shall be guilty, shall be liable to punishment, shall be judged as guilty. Who are they? Those that trust in him. For the Lord, in spite, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord snatches away him out of all of them. This Christian walk is time versus eternity. And in Christ Jesus, we are called, chosen unto eternal life in him. And our hope and our confidence has to be that God does what he says, whether we see it or not, whether we be fleeing from the one who's trying to kill us, whether we be in prison 19 feet underground with the world rolling over our heads as though there's no thought of a man sent by God to deliver the good news of Jesus Christ. Through all that he had been through, the Apostle Paul could have given all up based on all his experiences, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me, Paul says. And for 2,000 years, the message of the Apostle Paul continued to go around this world, and our hope in God, our hope in eternal life to which we have been called. Shall continue as we continue to grab hold of all the promises of God, who has delivered us from so great a death and does deliver, in whom we hope he will deliver us, in that same first chapter of 2 Corinthians, it says, for all the promises of God are yea, are of God, in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God. All the promises of God in Jesus are yea, and in Jesus are amen. That is, no doubt. Don't let circumstance snatch away your hope and confidence of God's choice of you in Christ Jesus. The grace of the Lord be with you, and the peace of God the Father and Jesus Christ be with you always. And that's the God School for today.